This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce coming up in 20 minutes. Great stuff with the great Mikey B in the last hour. Congratulations to him and his beautiful bride, Jess, as they're going to be having a baby in early September. Ryan Biseglia is the name of the child. Any chance, Stu, and I should have asked this to Mikey B, that Mikey B loves working with Ryan Trace Hickey, so they named the baby after Trace?
That was my first thought. I think that's definitely a possibility.
All right, so a little Ryan Trace Hickey. So that kid will grow up rooting for Penn State and Notre Dame.
That's right.
See, at least for Trace, no Penn State football this year. Still has a shot at Notre Dame. Not bad. Not bad for Ryan Trace Hickey, who now is having a child named after him, Ryan Biseglia. All right, let's get to News Brief. Biggest stories of the day with some audio. Let's roll.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Joe Kelly got his suspension reduced from 8 games to 5 games for throwing at Alex Bregman, even though he didn't hit him. And then he had an off-speed pitch in the direction of Carlos Correa and then did strike out Carlos Correa. And while he was walking off the mound, he did a petulant baby face like to Carlos Correa. So here is Joe Kelly explaining the decision to flash the pouty face at Correa, courtesy of the Big Swing podcast.
When Carlos is chirping back at me, the boo-hoo face felt right because it just sounded like he was complaining. So I just was like, oh, boo-hoo, like, ugh. So for me, it just sounded like a bunch of whining, and now I know exactly what my wife feels like. So I'm going to stop whining because I didn't like the whining, and now I know she doesn't like the whining. So that just felt right in the moment. It's just spur of the moment. It's not like a game plan for that kind of thing. It's a reaction. It was my interpretation of him acting like a child at that point. So I wanted to give him a little child's face.
What a sicko. So he thinks Carlos Correa was acting like a child. So what am I going to do? I'm going to act like a child back. This seems like a fifth grade bus ride. Well, that person made a mean face to me, so I'm going to make a mean face back at him. Wah! Let's hear some more from Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly says the Astros are not respectable when talking also, once again, to the Big Swing podcast.
I don't talk to those guys, and I don't want to talk to those guys because they're not respectable men to me. What Correa said to Belly, Belly had all the facts. You don't tell my teammate to shut the f*** up and then spit at us during a pandemic. That ain't right. That ain't right. He's not looking out for the health of anybody doing that. He's going to get his own teammates sick doing that if he had the corona. Like, he'd get us sick. Like, that's just not right. So, like, I would always not respect them in that way.
Wow, that's interesting. There's one thing with the cheating. I don't remember the Astros spitting on the Dodgers, so I'd like a little bit more clarity on that. Kelly, though, going off when you had Correa basically tell the Dodgers to shut the bleep up. Man, we got to hear one more cut of Joe Kelly. He talked about Dusty Baker when Baker told him to get his skinny ass on the mound.
Your words, like that's unsportsmanlike. Oh, really? Because with no fans, I could hear everything. With no fans, every single word. They have a manager on their side, verbatim, yelling at me, saying, get your little skinny ass on the mound. So my cuss words get 8 games, and his cuss words get 0. And that makes complete sense, right? I mean, welcome to planet Earth. A debacle.
Oh, let's be real. You got suspended because you threw a 90-something mile-per-hour fastball at the head of Bregman. I know you didn't hit him. It was because of that intent. And I know the baseball purists, the traditional baseball fans, going to say, that's good old-fashioned retaliation. And I understand retaliation is going to happen. If you want to play into the retaliation game, you got to make sure that the ball goes from the waist and below. Once you start throwing, or, you know, even hit someone in the back, once you start throwing, though, at someone's head, yeah, I don't love that one. I don't love that one whatsoever. Does Joe Kelly actually think he got suspended all 8 games for simply just what he said? Come on, he can't be that foolish. Give me a Dodgers-Astros World Series. That would be fun. That would be spectacular if we got to see the Dodgers and the Astros in the World Series. And right now we know the Dodgers, they are 12-7, but Houston, yeah, they're 8-10. Luckily for them, though, you got 8 teams that make the playoffs this year in the AL and then 8 in the NL, and we'll see if we even get to a postseason for this upcoming year in Major League Baseball. Joe Kelly versus the entire Houston Astros, dominating the sports part of the pandemic for Major League Baseball. Other than that, the only other things you hear about Major League Baseball is that Laureano situation with also the Astros hitting coach Syndrome. And then here and there, you obviously hear about what did happen with the Marlins and then what happened with the Indians and obviously what's still happening with the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's get to Jay Norvell. He joined us last night on CBS Sports Radio. The Mountain West is postponing the fall college football season. He coaches Nevada, and I asked him about his thoughts on a potential spring football season.
I would say this, you know, about spring football. I would not want to interrupt or change our fall schedule next fall. And if we could play some games in the spring and give our guys an opportunity to compete and still keep our fall schedule intact, I would be for that. If there's a feeling that we would have to interrupt the fall or back up the fall because of a spring schedule, I would not be for that. And it's just unfortunate. You know, it's kind of like that old kids show, The Year Without Christmas. This is kind of the year without football. You know, it's an unfortunate thing. But I would really like to see us get back on track a year from now in the fall with a full slated schedule like we're normally used to. I would hate to see us. I've heard some of the different proposals about playing a spring schedule and then backing up the fall schedule, and I would hate to see us disrupt 2 full seasons of football.
Well, when you hear spring football, you think of the spring months, but that may not be the case. It could be January, it could be February. Like we said, if there's a way to get it done, okay, I understand it, but if you don't get to play in the fall, do we think it's going to be that much better in January and February when you're right in the middle of cold and flu season? And if you don't get it done early or like even later on in the winter, you don't want to push back the start of the fall season. He's exactly right on that one. Like if you're starting the season in March or April, it's kind of pointless and you're just doing it because it's a cash grab. So when I look at this, and yes, you have a lot of guys that are just going to opt out anyway and say, you know, even if there was going to be spring season, I'm just going to leave campus now and go train on my own and get ready for the draft. But what happens if you're not a player that's ready to go to the NFL or not allowed to go to the NFL yet? And a tough part here, and we talked about this with Jay last night, you have players that you're hoping to have a schedule for and still being able to practice. Imagine telling 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, we're going to practice. Well, what are we practicing for, coach? Other than to have structure and to have us do something and to get better individually, what are we practicing for? Because no one can tell you right now when they're going to play college football. Not even the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 who still want to play. And even when they give you dates, for example, the Big 10, they gave you dates last Wednesday, and then early this week we find out there's no Big 10 football season. Right now, I don't think we're going to have college football in the fall. Do I think we'll have it in the spring? I'm not optimistic about it. Let's hear the NCAA president, Mark Emmert. He had a big announcement today. Let's hear what it was.
We cannot now, at this point, have fall NCAA championships because there's not enough schools participating. The board also established, Board of Governors also said, look, if you don't have half of the schools playing a sport, you can't have a legitimate championship. So we can't in any Division I NCAA championship sport now, which is everything other than FBS football that goes on in the fall. So sadly, tragically, that's going to be the case this fall, you know, full stop. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't and can't turn toward winter and spring and say, okay, how can we create a legitimate championship for all those students? My staff's been working hard on it, been talking to a lot of commissioners, all the commissioners, all 32 of them in D1, and there are ways to do this. I'm completely confident that we can figure this out. If schools and conferences want to move forward and try and have, and more than half of them want to do it, and that's surely the indication right now, then let's do it. We can use the fall, as I said, to keep kids healthy, keep them engaged with their coaches and their athletic departments, focus on their academic success, you know, work with them and let them practice and you know, stay ready to play. Then let's go compete at that time.
So that doesn't impact football, like Mark Emmert said. I have a big problem with the leadership in all of college sports right now. And I'm not saying these are easy decisions to make. I think, though, they got to be careful in the way that they phrase things. They keep on trying to give us hope. For example, with college football, like we said last week with the Big Ten, when you release a schedule, you could give 9,000 disclaimers. This doesn't mean we're going to play this year. Releasing that schedule, though, gives off the impression that you were going to play. And now for the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12, you're giving off the impression, even though you haven't definitively said it, but with not canceling yet and not postponing the season yet, you're giving off the vibe that you're trying everything in your power to play. Here's my big question, though, with a lot of these decisions, and it gets complicated when you move into a different season. There's a way to get it done, but I don't think everyone's going to be on the same page here. It's probably never going to happen where all these conferences are on the same page. However, when I look at the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, when it relates to football, are they delaying this because they're holding out hope that something is going to change? Or are they right now knowing that they're not going to play, but they don't want to make that decision yet? Like, both of those tie in hands? Or do they actually think that they're going to play and will eventually they'll look back on it and say, yes, we'll either play, or look what the Pac-12 did, look at what the Big Ten did. If they have information why they're saying they shouldn't play, you have the same information. What other information are you using, though, to contradict the information that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 has as well? Let's continue hearing from leadership people in college football. And I use that term leadership in air quotes. Here's Val Ackerman, the commissioner of the Big East, talking about the possibility of Big East basketball and college basketball this year being in a bubble.
Our announcement yesterday, paralleling those of other leagues, really did have to do with our fall sports alone. And so I think you're seeing all the conferences declare that right now, as of now, the winter sports, include basketball, are kind of proceeding as planned. A couple of leagues have made the decision not to begin competitions in their winter sports till after the new year. Mm-hmm. I count the Ivy and the and the Patriot and the Pac-12 in that category, those two leagues. But we didn't make that decision. At this point, we are still planning to have basketball go off as planned. But yet, we're monitoring it closely. I mean, none of us have any illusions about the how the earth is sort of shifting under our feet here. And so, yes, to your question, we are building all sorts of contingency models. Probably a little bit early to expand on any of those. But but I think at this point, we have to be ready for everything.
That, of course, was on Tiki and Tierney, which you could hear right before us on CBS Sports Radio. At first, I would say bubble. How could you have student athletes in a bubble? How do you treat them differently than other students on campus? Here's one of the years where that could actually work. And it depends if your classes are online. If your class, if you still have a class in person, one class or two, then you can't have a bubble. However, if you're at a university where all the classes are online, doesn't matter where the students are, right? So if you want to have college basketball, I don't think this is going to happen because they're still amateur athletes. Then there's a way to have student athletes live inside a bubble. It depends on the class situation. That's a big thing. I really hope we have an NCAA tournament this year. I really do. Because if you look at it, baseball, at least we got the season underway. NBA, we're going to complete the playoffs. NHL, we're going to complete the playoffs. NFL, we're going to start the season. College football, I don't think it's going to end up happening. Back when this all started, first started to see conference tournaments go, and then it was the NCAA tournament. It was so weird. That was the first really huge event. Yes, you had March 11th with Gobert testing positive, and we know that that really started everything from spiraling down the road that we did, and that was a huge major point. But the first major sporting event that we didn't have because of the pandemic was March Madness. And that's so wild that we still didn't have March Madness this past year. Let's hear from Doug Peterson. He had COVID-19. He talked about, since he returned to the team now, as he is negative, on staying engaged with the team while he was recovering from COVID.
Well, I obviously didn't want to miss any time if I didn't have to. But, you know, I stayed engaged virtually with the team. I was able to watch the practices, and stay up on everything that we did and still run the team from my home.
Well, good luck to Doug, and glad everything's being okay and everything's doing fine. And, yeah, if you have a coach, as we've seen Anthony Lynn, Sean Payton, and Doug Peterson get COVID-19, you will teach a lot or you will talk to your team a lot virtually. You can't get into the facility. And if it happens during the season, things will be similar, except when you have someone on the field and the coach has COVID, he's obviously not going to be in, so you'll have an assistant coach do all the interpersonal communication and the actual play calling stuff, because Doug's not going to be able to do anything during the game if he had COVID, if this was going on during the season. So someone like Deuce Staley, who's the assistant head coach for the Eagles, would just have to take on a bigger role until Doug did come back, and now he's back with the team. Let me hear from Zion Williamson. This is Zion Williamson on the critics who say he's carrying too much weight.
Everybody is entitled to their own opinion, but I'm just going to stick to the opinions to the people closest to me and my team, and I'm just going from there.
It's weird. When you saw him working out during the pandemic, you thought he got a little bit extra jacked, and then he starts to play, and he's not playing well, not playing a lot of minutes, and then people are questioning his weight. Everyone could afford to drop a few pounds. I think Zion Williamson is going to be okay. This is something that Joel Embiid had to deal with as well. Every time you keep on getting hurt, or he didn't even get hurt this, when he had to leave the bubble, it was because of family emergency, you come back. Everyone for you, they're going to look at your weight and they're going to question it. You know what you got to do. I think Zion's going to be fine. We saw what he was able to do in 19 regular season games, not including the bubble. I think they have a heck of a player, and there's no indication that I see so far that he's not going to put in the work. So I believe that this is just the start of Zion Williamson's career, and I think he's going to have a very dominant career. But anytime he gets hurt, people are going to question the weight. 17 past the hour, Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. First and goal next. We preview the Los Angeles Rams with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders in 2020? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's continue First and Goal. We look at a team that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and then this past season they just missed out on the NFL postseason. We now preview the Los Angeles Rams with Pro Football Hall of Famer and former Rams wide receiver Isaac Bruce. Isaac, appreciate you doing this. Let me first start you off. When we look at the Rams, all eyes are on the quarterback in Jared Goff. Do you believe that Jared Goff is the franchise quarterback for the Rams?
Well, I think all eyes should be on Jared. I mean, I think he's in a position where he's proven some things in a short time in the league. I mean, he's taken a team to the playoff, won a couple of division titles. getting better every year. I think he's starting to separate himself from, you know, that term that people throw around as him being a system guy, you know, being helped by Coach McVay. I think this is the season where he really, really separates himself from that and has a really outstanding season.
When you look at the weapons around him, you have 2 1,000-yard wide receivers in Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. But the running back position, no more Todd Gurley. With the running backs not being strong this year, how do you kind of interpret that running back room, and how does that really affect Goff this year?
Well, to be honest, I feel like the L.A. Rams got the steal of the draft in Cam Akers. He's a really, really formidable running back, a guy I saw play a lot at Florida State. He was kind of under the radar because, you know, Florida State was going through a transition and didn't play many national televised games. But every time I watched the game, Cam Akers, he stuck out. So I think he'll be the real steal, the guy that's kind of under the radar for the Rams. And I think he'll have a really good rookie season. Couple him with, you know, the third-round pick from last year, Henderson out of Memphis. So I think that combination be real good. But I'm looking forward to seeing the evolution of Everett and Higbee, the two tight ends combinations that we have, and really seeing how these guys can start to evolve and get the ball and do something with it. So I'm excited about seeing that.
Isaac Bruce, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, here with us. Let's get to the next down, previewing the Rams. All right, Isaac, when we look at the wide receiving room, no more Brandon Cooks. Cooper Kupp still there, Robert Woods as well. As a Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver, what do you really love about Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods?
Just their competitive greatness. I think the two of these guys, with the addition of the rookie Van Jefferson out of Florida, is going to be awesome. I think these guys all play at the same level. They all have the same ability to take the top off the defense. Cooper Kupp is really good once he gets the ball into his hands. Robert Woods, you can do a lot of different things with him, from intermediate stuff, taking the top off the defense. He's a guy that you can run in reverse with. So, you know, the defense really has to find him every time he breaks the huddle. Just that group within itself, I think, is a really good group. They have a lot of incentive to play for this year, Cooper Kupp being one of them, this being his contract year. So I expect to see a lot of great things from that group.
We keep on talking about Antonio Brown and where he could fit in. He's going to be suspended for 8 games. Yeah. You keep on hearing the Seahawks and the Ravens. Should a team like the Rams make a move at Antonio Brown?
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about one of the premier wide receivers from the past decade that we had, a guy that was very, very productive. I think a guy that has started to, you know, make the turn, the 180-degree turn that's required to be a part of a team, which I feel he wants to be. So, you know, we've done some things in the past, reached out and got guys that other people may seem controversy, and brought them in the fold. I think Les Snead should reach out, see the interest, and maybe bring him in at least for a workout. But a guy of that caliber, man, I don't think you have to work this guy out, because he's a hard worker, great work ethic. He's very productive, like I mentioned. And I think he'll challenge the people in his room and take the Rams to a different level.
Why do you think he's changed? Because we've heard that he's wanted to retire. He said he's retired. Then you find out he doesn't want to retire. You have a bunch of stuff off the field. And then we saw it ended in Pittsburgh, and we thought it was getting started with the Raiders. And that never ended up happening before going to New England. And then they released him as well. When you just look at AB, why do you think he's changed, in your opinion?
Well, I think football has probably been a part of his life. I don't know this for sure. You know, probably from his youth. I mean, I'm talking maybe 8 years old. He's been playing football every fall. So just to have that taken away from him, I mean, that tends to make a person sit down and just reflect on career choices, life choices, and, you know, just the results and the fruit that you bore. So I think from that standpoint, anybody, you know, being in their right mind, can make life adjustments to do something that they love to do.
Let's get to the next down, Isaac Bruce. All right, so Sean McVay has been so impressive. 3 years in the league as a head coach. Went to wild card round his first year, Super Bowl the second year. And last year was still above 500, but they missed out on the postseason at 9-7. This is the first adversity Sean McVay has really faced in the National Football League, missing the playoffs a year ago. How do you think the Rams coach responds this year?
Well, I always think this is when it gets good, when you get a little pushback on, you know, the stuff and the things that made you so. And, you know, you have some great coaches that are in the division, the NFC West, up in San Fran, up in Seattle. It's challenging. So these guys, you know, they own scholarship too. And these guys, some of these guys, Carroll, he's a defensive guy. You know, he cut his teeth from stopping offenses and stopping guys with a mindset like Coach McVay. So it's going to be up to Coach McVay to come out with a couple more wrinkles. I mean, make sure we get that running game going like we should, put a priority on it, and make sure we have some attempts running the football. I mean, that's the name of the game. Anytime you want to go deep into the playoffs, at some point in time, you're going to have to just line up in a 9-on-7 formation and try to run the ball down somebody's throat and not be shy about doing it. So I think that'll be Coach McVay's approach this year. And I think we have the guys up front, Whitworth and those boys, and Cam Akers can make it happen.
This duo of McVay and Jared Goff, what is it to you? When you define that duo, how do you define them?
Well, I look at it as still being new. It's still fresh. I think you got two young guys who are willing to compete, not only with each other, but against each other as far as being creative. So I think there's still room for improvement. You know, you got duos all over the league right now, Mahomes and Andy Reid, they're kind of the standard right now. So I think the two guys, McVay and Goff, maybe sitting back, learning from some other guys, and just coming up with things of their own, and making sure that they're mentioned when you mention great duos like that throughout the league.
Let's get to the final down. Wade Phillips no longer there. Brandon Staley now the defensive coordinator. When you look at the Rams overall as a team in that division, which is a very tough division with the Seahawks, the 49ers, and the Cardinals as well, how do the Rams match up with the rest of this division, in your opinion, Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce?
Well, he definitely has his job cut out for him. You know, I think we have the best player in football on the defensive side with Aaron Donald. You know, couple him with Jalen Ramsey, which brings, you know, a unique approach to the game. He's able to shut down your best wide receiver, take away one-third of the field, and allow the new defensive coordinator to, you know, be a little bit more creative with his approach to defense. I mean, I think he can be a little bit more offensive from the defensive standpoint with blitzes and some exotic stuff, you know, with players like that we have on our team. So it'll be interesting to see. We're playing in a division that likes to run the football. Let's just be real about it. San Fran, they like to run the football. Seattle, they like to run the football. So it's all about being able to run the ball and stop the run. So that's the name of the game. And being able to put guys in a position where they can be successful. I think Ramsey makes it easy for a defensive coordinator. Guys like Aaron Donald, they make it easy. Brockers, who's been there for a while, you know, these guys make it easy for a defensive coordinator because he can come in and he can trust these guys and get other guys prepared to play.
Did you say Aaron Donald was the best player overall in football, in your opinion?
That's what I said.
Why not Patrick Mahomes?
Because I like Aaron Donald and I'm a homer.
Well, at least you're being fair. When I see the top 100 list, and we all know how great Donald is, the last 2 years I've just been annoyed that Mahomes has been just slightly behind Aaron Donald. But if that's the response you want to give me, there's not really much I could argue with that. Let me ask you one question about Arizona. That wide receiver group this year, mm-hmm. you have Kupp, you also have DeAndre Hopkins, and you also have now Larry Fitzgerald still there. With that trio, I absolutely love that wide receiver group in Arizona. How about yourself?
I think it's an interesting bunch. I think there's a lot of guys. One guy in particular, Kirk, I think he's...
Christian Kirk, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I said Cooper Kupp, my bad.
he's ready for a breakout season. And I think, he's been there for a while. I don't know what his contract status is, but, you know, being around some of the greats like Hopkins and Fitzgerald, I mean, I'm sure he's learned a lot about the position that he's playing. So it's just gonna be important how they can keep... the quarterback on his feet. I mean, not have to have the guy running all over the place, and that's all up to the offensive line and their coaching. So it's going to be tough. I think for a lot of teams around the league who don't put a priority on the running game, because it's going to take some time for that offensive line to gel. And, defensive ends and defensive linemen, you know, these rushing linebackers, blitzing linebackers are going to be chopping at the bit to get after the quarterback. So, if they can hold up front with the passing attack being a priority for them in Arizona, we'll see what happens.
You scored a touchdown. We're going for two. I got two more questions for you, Isaac Bruce, and I should not be surprised that you scored a touchdown. You're a Pro Football Hall of Famer. This year it's an unprecedented season with all that's going on in the world. How would you approach this season? Would you definitely be playing this year when you had that decision to make if you were still playing?
Yeah, I think I would play. I would encourage other guys about playing. I think that from a leadership position, this is big time unconventional. So there should be some unconventional solutions that should be brought forth. Being a faith person, I'd make everyone learn Psalms 91, which talks about protection, and just have it in your locker. And we all repeat it at the same time. Go out and play. And do it from week to week. That's just my opinion.
And then finally, you're going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The ceremony, unfortunately, because of all that's going on in the world, did get delayed. How'd you react to that news? Obviously, you're thrilled to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but you got to wait another year now with all that's going on.
No, it's fine. I mean, I was informed that I don't have to give the jacket back, don't have to return the bus. I can keep the ring and everything. So it's postponed, not canceled. I mean, it still gives me an opportunity to be grateful and to thank a lot of people that helped me on the journey. So they've promised me that we'll have that moment, and I'm patient enough to wait for it.
You and your family doing all right during all this?
Absolutely, man. We're well. Our friends and family, everyone is healthy. And we're all helping other people right now.
Well, I appreciate you coming on to preview the Rams. Thanks so much, my friend.
No problem.
There's Isaac Bruce, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. My favorite answer there. The stuff he said on Antonio Brown was interesting, also Jared Goff as well. But when I followed up, did you say Donald was the best player in football? Because I'd rather take the quarterback than the defensive lineman. And he goes, well, yeah, I said it because I'm a homer and I love the Rams, and that's my guy. 37 past the hour. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back with a big bet.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. All right, time to get to a big bet. But before we do that, let me remind you that CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Let me just say one thing about the big bet from last night. You had the Miami Heat, who, Stu, like, they were up at one point, what, 20, 22 points, it seemed like?
It was 20-something, yeah.
It was 20. I want to say it was 22. They had a huge third quarter. Huge third quarter. Miami outscored OKC 34-20 in the third quarter. I had Miami minus the 4 last night. And I even said, you know, I like Miami. OKC is a gritty team. I'll probably even get to lose this bet, but I still laid the 4 points with Miami. And in the fourth quarter, OKC outscored Miami 34-15. And OKC wins by one. So we lost the big bet last night. I think I'm at 7-4 or maybe 7-5. I have it here. I'll pull it up and get you the information before we do finish the segment. Or actually, make this easier. I know Mikey B is listening to us right now. Mike, do me a favor when you hear this, when you're listening on the radio.com app, which is going to be delayed since me trying to locate my emails are not going to be very convenient to do. Just let me know what my record is on the big bet. It's so weird. I like to stick with the basketball here because it plays best nationally, and I haven't gotten that mode yet because I've been doing well with the basketball that I kind of want to go away from the basketball too much. So I see the two games tonight. Pelicans, Magic. Orlando's a 4.5-point favorite. I'm not touching that. Magic already have the 8th seed, and the Pelicans, this game means absolutely nothing for them as well because they're already eliminated. So that means we have Portland and we have the Nets. So in this matchup of Portland and the Nets, it means nothing for the Nets. It means everything for Portland. Memphis is already in the 8-9 playing game, and the Phoenix Suns are the team that is sitting there, and they've been 8-0 inside the bubble, and they're waiting for the result of this game tonight. If Portland wins, Suns 8-0, great story, you're going home. If Portland loses, pop the champagne, Phoenix! We're seeing Devin Booker go up against Ja Morant. I saw the number earlier was at 8. If you got it at 8, 8.5, Portland, you're feeling good. The number right now has gone up to 10. So I got to play it where the number is on the show. If we would have done this segment earlier in the show, it would have been better for me. 10 points is a lot. I know a lot of teams don't really compete that hard in these games because they mean nothing. Brooklyn, though, has basically a bunch of no-name players, though, playing. So each experience for them, even though the game doesn't mean anything for Brooklyn, it does matter in some capacity, because those are more minutes that usually wouldn't get if the Nets were fully healthy and had guys like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Spencer Dinwiddie, and DeAndre Jordan actually playing. But I look at this matchup. Portland, it would be crazy if Portland lost. With how people already anointed Portland, oh, they have a chance to defeat the Lakers. Like, watch out. Stu Kovac's already getting upset being a Lakers fan, with people already pretty much announcing that the Trailblazers are the greatest basketball team of all time. So I see Portland, the number's at 10. Some other books, it's 10.5, 11. I'm going to take it at 10 because that's the line that I see it on right now. I like Portland to win this game, and they win this game big tonight. Maybe the Nets give a good first half, but you have a Portland team, the talent is just so much better. It's not even close. And Damian Lillard is a man on a mission right now to get into the postseason. He said all along that he wouldn't go to the bubble unless he had a chance to get into the postseason. Now he has a chance to get into the postseason. I don't, especially with him having 61 the other night, I think he goes for at least 35-plus tonight and dominates. And you got Carmelo added in some positive minutes, too. We'll see what you get out of C.J. McCollum. Remember, he has that back injury that he's been dealing with, but he played 35 minutes the other night. You still got Gary Trent Jr., and you got the two bigs as well. So I like Portland. They'll win big tonight, maybe by 15 points, but I have them at minus 10. So I take them to win by 11. That's the big bet on the Zach Gelb Show. And Stuart Kovacs gets in my ear. I guess Mikey B texted him instead of texting me, unless if Stuart Kovacs is on our email chain. Are you on our email chain for the big bet?
I am not. I think there was an issue texting you on Mikey B's end, so I'm the messenger.
I guess Mike's wife didn't like the segment that we did, but we were guessing or revealing the baby Biseglia, Ryan Biseglia. So maybe Now she won't let him text me. No, I'm just playing. I actually got a text from Mike. My wife absolutely loved the segment. So I'm 7-5. That is what the record is for me so far in the big bet. Well, hopefully we go to 8-5, because 8-5 sounds a whole lot better than 7-6. So there's the big bet for tonight. Let me update you on the two poll questions. When we look at the poll questions tonight, who would you rather see, Portland or Phoenix, play Memphis in the 8-9 game? Portland at 63%, Phoenix at 37%. I think whoever gets in, Portland or Phoenix, will defeat Memphis. If you had to ask me who the preference is, I would go Portland. And then the other poll question is, the Cowboys in 2020 will, fill in the blank, be a wild card team when the NFC East make the Super Bowl or miss the playoffs? 3.3% say make the Super Bowl. I agree that's in fourth. Then 23.3% say be a wild card team. 25% say win the NFC East. And then 48.3% say miss the playoffs. So I actually think the answer here, the Cowboys in 2020, I believe that they're going to win the NFC East. If I had to give you my votes here in order, win the NFC East 25%, be a wild card team 23.3%. I'll actually put miss the playoffs in front of make the Super Bowl because I don't think they'll make the Super Bowl. I think that's the least realistic of the four. So I put miss the playoffs at 3 and then make the Super Bowl at 4. Now Mikey B is texting me still, so I guess he can. He may have just had a little of a problem because his phone is absolutely the worst during this entire pandemic. Let me get to this Russell Westbrook stuff. So Russell Westbrook is going to miss at least the first game of the playoffs for the Houston Rockets up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's going to miss the start of the playoffs. We'll see how far or how long he does miss. You know, that's a real shame. You never want to see someone like Russell Westbrook go down with an injury. You don't want to see even if it's a bad player go down with an injury, as he suffered the injury actually 3 games into the restart. And when you look at what he's gone through, it's a strain right quadricep right now, so a strain right quad. And you see this matchup that you have, it's Houston and it's OKC. This is a matchup that everyone wanted to see. I remember when we were initially, the NBA was getting underway, we were saying matchups you want to see, and this was definitely, I think it was the first one. Because Houston, yes, they're going small ball. Yeah, a guy like Covington's good. He's got to be consistent from three. It's such a big factor for them. But the two big stars, you had Harden with CP3 for such a while, and then CP3 gets traded to OKC, and in return you get back Russell Westbrook, and, you know, picks also did go to OKC as well. This is a huge, and I mean a huge series for Houston. I don't think Houston is a team that's going to get to the finals. I haven't been buying into the notion, even when Houston was hot out of the gate, like, oh, they're a dangerous team, because I don't trust James Harden on a big stage. Russell Westbrook, you know, when he plays, he's going to give you as close to a triple-double as he can. He's going to fill up the stat sheet. He's not a three-point shooter, though. So James Harden is the big key. Now you pretty much get James Harden until Westbrook comes back being the guy and being the main point of focus. And I even think he's the main point of focus when Russell Westbrook is there, because Westbrook to me is the two on that team. But with James Harden, you got to go win this series. And I know that we have, and hey, if you lose the series, it's going to hurt you more than obviously if you win the series. If you win the series, people say, hey, this was what was expected of you. If you lose it, you're going to get clowned by the entire league, and we'll see what excuses Daryl Morey makes, because last year he was pointing to how great his record was up against the Golden State Warriors compared to the rest of the league in the playoffs. But if you're Harden, I don't care if Westbrook's playing or not. Obviously, you want Westbrook there, but you got to just go out there and you got to take this series. You have to will your team to victory, and too many times in the postseason, you come up short. So this is huge, because if Houston loses, man, OKC looks great for making that trade.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.